The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is June 11th, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's www.grassfedbeef.com. Go out and take a look at it. I've known John Wood for about 15 years. John's been on the show. Great guy. He's been a big influence on me, especially with the push with this business. And he's helped me out in a lot of ways behind the scenes, and I thank him for that. So go out to www.grassfedbeef.com. If you get lucky enough to talk to John, tell him Eric sent you. He'll know who it is right away. And by the way, his father's in his early 90s, and he still works the farm. So these guys are made out of iron, and they're great people. Secondly, we got my chiropractor, Dr. Mark Colligan. This is Saugerties Chiropractic Center. This is only for New York State, upstate New York residents. Right now, they are working on their website, so to get a hold of them, it's 845-246-5020. Of course, you had me talk about, hear me talk about his drop table, soft tissue work, trigger points. He's got the deep tissue laser, the pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. You know, he works on anybody, but he loves working with sports injuries. He does a lot of rock taping now. You know, we talk about human performance potential. Mark's a great guy. And as soon as we can get this Wi-Fi issue resolved, because for those of you who don't know anything about the Hudson Valley where he is, it's like sitting in a dome. And they have monster problems. We've had him on intermittently, but it just will not go. We lose connection. So that's what we're working on right now. I want to have Mark on at least once or twice a month. And I have a local girl here, Christina Anderson, who's a power lifter, and she does ART, which is active release technique. You know, we're going to try to get them on as much as we can. Whether you go to somebody or you don't, I just feel these people got an awful lot of information. And, you know, a lot of us have these things that, you know, we go and get looked at and whatever. You know, they have a wealth of experience, so it just might help some of us out. So, you know, give Mark a call, and that's 845-246-5020. Next, we have Dr. William Wong, who's a regular on Motivation and Muscle once a month. I do believe we're probably going to be doing twice a month. He loves to do the show. He puts out some great supplements, Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. He's a sponsor for me to go to Iceland. He's been helping me out with I got a little dinged up shoulder right now, and it's slowing me down, but the stuff is working, and we're getting better every day. Next, we have my good friend Melody Shunfield of Evil Monkey Enterprises. Anyone this month who wants custom equipment built by her company, it's 25% off to all Motivation Muscle listeners. Go out to www.evilmunkyent.com. Tell her we sent you. Go out and check out her site. She's got the monkey bars that they build for training, and obviously, wait to see the maces they build. This girl is, I think she's 5 foot, 105 pounds. She's got all the powerlifting records for her class, and you ought to see her bend steel. She can bend stuff into whatever you like and tear in books and pieces. She's awesome, and she's also the lead singer of a band out in Los Angeles called EdForce. They're a cover band for Iron Maiden, so she's got an awful lot on her plate, and we're glad to have her in with us at Motivation Muscle. And last but not least, we have Sorenex Equipment. Bert's a regular on here, too. His dad's been on, too. He is the president and co-owner of Sorenex Equipment. In case you didn't hear the show the other day, well, that's mainly because I didn't put it up, but you will hear it now. We've been talking about a diamond bar for quite a while for trap bar lifting, and I need a bigger one, and we're going to make one, and Bert offered the other day offline to sponsor me with one of their oversized, which would fit in the power rack to pull from and also to press overhead. So that's on the way here to Fiorello Barbell Company, and we couldn't be happier, and we thank them for that. If you need to get a hold of Sorenex, 803-978-2253, and that's www.sorenex.com. Also, too, Logan Christopher and his family, I thank them from Superman Herbs. They are sponsoring me, too. All these people associated with the show, men, women, who are sponsoring and who are working with me on these shows, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your support, and I hope I'm giving you the same with, you know, getting you out there, getting your name out there, getting some traffic to you. And as we grow bigger and bigger, which we are doing, we are growing huge exponentially, I can tell you. And I'm going to have a lot more for you on that with this, with the new sites now up. And we've got a few bugs and some of the downloads, and that's all being worked on right now. I'll know more about that at 4 p.m. today, and hopefully that's all rectified. But I will make sure I'll put something out on the blog if we're still having problems. Well, once again, we try to bring, in my opinion, the greatest people onto this show. We like to really mix it up. We've had everything on here, everyone that I can think of, and I've got a bunch more. We're loaded right through October already. This seems to be the way we're going. I can't tell you how happy I am. I'm hungry, so don't worry about that. This stuff's not going to stop here. Today we have Ellen Yates on. I saw her out on Facebook, and she, to me, athlete. And, I'm trying to get people on here, not just, top drawer. I want people on here of all genres, because the connection to everybody is enormous to me. And I spoke with Ellen yesterday offline. We wanted to make sure Skype was working properly, and we were talking a lot about that. And, I told her, I was like, I don't care if you can lift a 400-plus stone or a 150-pound stone. To me, everybody's welcome under this tent. And the idea here is let's keep pushing each other. Let's help one another. Let's put out things that can help people. But most of all, we've got a voice here, and we can get out to more people than anything we can produce. All right, that's the idea here, and that's why I bring people like Ellen in, and you got Roger every week, and you got Bert Sorn, and you've got David Shaw, big huge names, Steve Jack, et cetera, et cetera. Well, for those of you who aren't familiar with Ellen in the audience, she's been in physical culture for 30 years. So I'm going to really hammer her on that, because I'm very interested in what she's seen in the 30 years. Because we've had some big time people like Bill Hinburn, who's been in, I think, for 45 years. So it's going to be interesting what she tells me. Secondly, she's a personal trainer. She's obviously a business owner. And she's told me she's a physical and mental motivator, which I like. Holly Joy McCabe, we were talking the other night when she was on the show. Same thing. It's like, you can take a person, they come in, they're 150 pounds overweight. She's trained her specifically on strongman style of lifting. And, the woman lost all the weight. Now she's competing in strongman. Her husband now is in the gym, and she's got her kids. I think that's a fabulous thing. So, Ellen, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you here. Before we get started on what we're going to get into a little bit here today, why don't you give everybody a short bio on yourself and, anything you've got coming up right now, you got a website, anything like that.
Okay. I started in the industry, like Eric said, about 30 years ago. I was an athlete in high school, track, volleyball. And then when I went to college, I wanted to go in the medical field. I started college, started out in the medical field, and then I decided I was having too much fun at my college, and I didn't want to transfer. So yeah. I didn't want to go to medical school, and I thought, oh, I'll do that later. So my professor said, hey, you know what the thing of the future is? This fitness thing. So she brought out this magazine. I looked at it, and it was basically about like a fitness instructor, and I said, okay. So I designed my own major, took, all the science that I had, threw in some management, and basically I came out with a degree in physical fitness management back in 1983, so you can imagine how old I am.
Wow.
But so then when I got out of college, basically all there was selling health club memberships. So I went into the restaurant business for a while. I hated that. I gained weight, out of shape. And finally, I discovered corporate fitness. Corporate fitness was where I could motivate people, motivate corporations, And I started with that in 1980, I think it was 1984. I started with the Department of Agriculture. And I was there for 3 years, developed and implemented their fitness program. And then I moved to California to work for, I don't know if you're familiar with this, called the American Council on Exercise. Back then it was called.
Yeah.
So I worked with them. I was in charge of certification. And then I loved California, but I decided I needed to be back closer to my family. And I started working with, I got a job with the United States Capitol Police. And I started, they hired me to implement their fitness program for their current officers, train their rookie officers. So I did that for 6 years. I enjoyed that. But what I always found was that as a fitness instructor, personal trainer, whatever I was, that I would see people for 2 weeks and then I would never see them again. And that was very frustrating for me because I wanted more control over a person's destiny. I wanted to change people's life and I couldn't do that if they were there for 2 weeks and not. So so what was becoming, when I was at the American Council of Exercise, they said personal trainers are going to be the, basically the thing of the future, meaning that they're going to change people's lives. So I started personal training, and trust me, I got hired. I was still working at the Capitol Police. A gym said, oh, we need a personal trainer. And I said, oh my God, I've never done personal training in my life. What do I do? So I just winged it. And guess what? Then about an article came out in one of the magazines in the area about the top personal trainers in the area. And my name was in it and my phone started ringing off the hook. And I said, it's now or never. So I left and I started my own business in T-Shape. And we're in the Virginia, Washington metropolitan area. I started that 21 years ago. I thought I couldn't make my mortgage, and here I am today.
It's awesome.
So one thing I want to say is that when I started, everybody said, oh, you're never going to make it. There's so many other people in the industry. And I didn't care what everybody said. I knew that I was different. I knew I had something else to bring to the table, and I knew that whatever I did, it was always 110%, whether it was business, fitness, and I always have had the do or die approach. And if you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to prove you wrong. So
that is the mindset to have. You know what I mean? I call it like the pursuit of your dream, you know, and stop avoiding struggle because that's what a lot of it is. You know, it gets a little tough. You want to bail. Do you got a website too, Ellen?
Yes.
So website, that out there.
Intoshape.com. It's spelled the letter N as in Nancy, the number 2, and then the word SHAPE.com. And I welcome, if anybody has any questions, I would love to answer any questions they have whatsoever. And you can reach me at Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at the letter N, the number 2, SHAPE.com. And we came up with that because everybody always says, I would say, what do you want to do? I want to get into shape.
So, that's funny. Yeah.
Right.
Don't you love that? I want to get into shape. Well, how hard do you want to work to get into shape? That's the whole thing. And that's what everything comes down to. Well, first thing I want to ask you, too, I mean, you kind of went into, obviously, where you started out through college and where you are right now. But you've been in 30 years now. And what do you see, I mean, in present day, you know, you can go through the whole time capsule if you want. But I think today training to me is more disturbing what I see, especially out on social media, than anything I've ever seen. And a lot of it, I believe, is phony, too, with the airbrushing and all that. What do you see with stuff like that? And where do you think we are right now in the industry? Because one thing you said that I am totally supportive of and I'm a believer in that is, yeah, okay, there could be 10 billion people out there training or gyms or whatever. But you and I both know how many, maybe 1% out of all those are really legit and really can do stuff. So where do you see things right now in today's industry? And maybe where do you think we're going a little bit?
Well, I think the fitness has changed so much because when I started, it was really about looking good. Mm-hmm. And now fitness is about your health. So that's the biggest thing that I've seen is that it's medically based. So yep. what's happening is that, and we're also being taking, which people that are, the more educated you are, the more educated people that you deal with, the more respect they have for you as a fitness professional. I didn't get very much respect 30 years ago. I used to get things like, oh, you're the girl that jumps up and down. And but now it's a lot, you know, at the Capitol Police, I used to have like an FBI agent would walk in and he goes, oh, you're the Jane Fonda of the Capitol Police. And yeah. I just would like look at him and, you know, it would annoy me now, but I would say it would annoy me then. Now I would say, yeah, thank you very much. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very, we're much more respected. We're taken much more seriously. And that I only think, and what I also see is all these little niches, which I love, like, you know, like what you do, Eric. It's like, yeah. Oh my gosh. I looked at, and I said, oh my gosh, he's lifting stones. Who would ever imagine that, right? But the thing is that all these little niches, as a personal trainer, they can say, oh, look what he's doing over there. He's lifting stones. Look what she's doing over there. She's spinning. Look what he's doing over there. He's doing CrossFit. It is wonderful because you know what? You're reaching a market and a segment and you're a motivator and you're taking all those people with you. And I don't care what it is, whether it's a widget, whether it's a kettlebell, whatever it is, there's room for everybody and you're capturing, you're motivating a certain segment. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see is all these little niches and bringing all these people in. You know, and that I see that and everything is being much more health oriented and medically based.
Do you think, you know, niches is an interesting thing because what believe it or not, you know, like I've trained all different kinds of people. OK, weight loss, you know, kids for football. Obviously, I have little Al here now getting ready for basketball. I've had older people where they'd be 70 years old. They didn't have enough strength in their hands to, you know, twist the top on a pickle jar. And after they left here, they could rip the tops off them. But you know what I thought, what they told me usually when they found out about me or it was word of mouth or, you know, people at times will stop you and they'll ask you the age-old question, do you lift weights? And I still kind of laugh when they say that. But, you know, a lot of times that is a groundbreaker with a lot of people. And there are times I've said no, and they look at you like, huh? And I'd say, I'm just kidding. But one of the things I've gotten from people was, it was like they were interested kind of in me. Like, how did you get to this point, and how did you build this build? And, you know, obviously you do some big things, right? And that seemed to be the thing that attracted them to come here and give me a try. Because most people say to me, all right, you do strongman. How are you going to teach somebody how to lose weight? And I got to sit them down, really, and it's the same way with anything we do here. Just because I lift stones and lift weights, you don't think I'm versed in other things. And when you get down to it with exercise, I can take a 30-pound sandbag and do miracles with people with it, okay? Not a stone, because mainly I don't want someone that's inexperienced to drop it on their foot and break it, all right? This is the point of it. The thing that I find with this industry right now, and I think maybe we touched upon this a little bit yesterday when we were speaking. Number one, I think this is an attitude. And I think everything's an attitude in your life. Now, you can bring good or bad. But I think when you bring an attitude like this to what we do and like what we're talking about here on today's show, this show's all attitude. I mean, it's like, you and I are talking about things that we like to do. We're conversing back and forth on our subjects. And maybe we don't do the same things, but we do the same things in respect where what we're very good at, we can take it and put it at any level. That, to me, is a trainer. And then secondly, obviously, you and I got into yesterday a lot about the attitude, the will, the ability to get it done, the ability to take action, the ability to never say die, that whole thing. And that's kind of the way I see the industry. In some ways, I see what I do. Like I think I told yesterday when Will was on, he was like, you're bringing all this stuff to the mainstream. And mainstream to me has always been kind of like a dirty word. You know, it's like mainstream. Ah. But I understand what Will said. Will explained it on the show. This is Will Dinwiddie, in case I should give his last name. Will's show's been up for a few weeks. He thought it was great that we were taking Strongman and everything else we do here and just bringing it to the top of the pile. Because in some ways I want that, like, big time, because I'm very interested in the younger kids and whoever else is out there and really needs help. In some ways I like the underground with it too. But so what do you think? I mean, you know, obviously we got all the genres. We're glad that a lot of this is around. It's on the surface. But do you think eventually, you know, I think eventually CrossFit's been good and bad, I think, for the industry. I'm glad to see Olympic lifting come back with it, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like anything, sooner or later, that's going to start fading a little bit. Where do you think we're going if CrossFit, where do you think we're going to go exercise-wise? Are we just going to have niches coming, say, the next 10 years, or something like what I do, and we can minimize it to any level, you know, and you can add anything else, kettlebells, you know, spinning, anything like with what you're doing, and you've trained heavy, you told me that. Where do you think we're going, man? Do you think it's all going to be niches, or we're going to come out? What if Strongman suddenly just took off mainstream? Do you think that could be a possibility?
Well, I think I'm always about back to the basics. And I think basically all these little things like Biggest Loser, CrossFit. I mean, and I have a really good friend that has a CrossFit place, but he knows what he's doing. And I don't mean that rudely, but so sometimes I go to him because I want to learn more about kettlebells and things like that. But I'm a very big about back to the basics. And there's it's all about all these little things that come along, like, for instance, Zumba. Okay, Zumba is nothing but aerobics with to music, okay, to different kinds of music. Okay, that's all it is. You know, kettlebells is nothing but, I mean, kind of, honestly, it's like yoga and lifting. It's functional training. It's all in.
Right.
So I think it's always back to the basics. But the biggest thing that I see that my switch in training has been is that it's much more functional. Why do I ask myself and I ask my trainers, so why are you having them jump up and down off of a BOSU 50 times and then squatting down and doing 10 and then jumping back? What's the reason that you're doing that? Right. So meaning that, is it marketing or is it because it's actually going to help them? So you have to really, I think it's going to be back to the basics, asking people what their goals are. And then, and then also figuring out what's going to motivate. Like for instance, if I told an 80-year-old that I have that we're going to be lifting a stone, right? You know what? Yeah. I may not start out telling him he's going to lift a stone, but once I get into his head, he will be lifting stones if that's what I want him to do. And that's because what you have, Eric, what I have, and every other fitness professional that's really good in the industry has, passion and energy. So when people walk up to you and they see you in a grocery store and they ask you or whatever, what do you do? And then you start talking to them about what you do. They kind of look at you and go, man, he's really out there, but I want some of that.
Yep.
Right. And so they come in and you may not ask them about the stone first, but you start, you say, and what our challenge is it's not about the money. It's about how can I change this person so that they can, instead of going to McDonald's every day, they're coming in to see me every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I guess I might be getting off topic.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
But it's your passion and your energy for what you do is what brings people in, no matter what it is. But I'm kind of irritated with all those little things around in the industry, and and I'm also irritated with the fact that I walk into a I don't like gyms. I don't like gyms at all. Like, I like these little niches, like your business and my business. I like, but a gym, they go in a gym and you pay $19 a month for a swimming pool that you never use. But what people have to learn is that they have to pay, you need to put your money in the right person, your right coach. You're a coach and I'm a coach. We're adult coach, kid coach, whatever coach we are. The only reason why in high school that we stuck with something was because we had a good coach. So what you want to do is you want to pay for a coach, not for a gym. And I don't care if you go into somebody's garage or somebody's basement. Wherever your business is, you pay for that coach wherever they want you to go.
Yep. Well, you know what I found, Ellen, too? We've got a big heater in my garage. I only have a one-car garage. But as everybody says it comes here, could you fit another thing in there? I mean, you know, three power racks, dip, you know, you name it, 4x4 dip bars lagged right into the cement wall. I've got, what, I've probably got 15,000 pounds of weight in that small garage alone. You name it, any type of bar, et cetera, you know, barrels, stones. I got a 95-foot driveway. The last third of the driveway is either natural stones, you know, made molded spheres. And then, of course, my favorites, the ones that we came up with for the Hoosa steel stones. And then I've got an 800-pound tire on one side of the concrete wall, and there's like a 300 on the other. And then you enter the dome of pain, so to speak. And it's like, you see it, and it's like, holy cow, man. You just don't believe that stuff is all behind that door and everything else out in front. And then to the left of the garage, we did 6x6s where it's got dip bars all built right into it. We have a big logging chain where we can hang the Hoosa steel stones off to either do partials or lift it right off the grass. And then next door to that, what I found with that stone is, it tries to go forward on you, so it's always going to give a big yank in the insertion where the pec inserts into the delt there. And we constructed these big cable-looking things electricians use. My buddy's an electrician. And you can slip any size dumbbell through each hole. So basically you lay down on the ground, dead stopping, you know, any size dumbbell you want and working that pec area. And if you get caught, you just let it go and you get out from under it and you're as safe as can be. And these are things I came up with and constructed. And I did this, obviously, when you talk functionality, definitely. But for me, paramount is safety because, you know, I could get killed in there very easy. I have nobody. I have people once in a while, but, you know, even my buddies, they like doing it. But it's a hard, it's very hard on the body and the mind. And, you know, you don't get a lot of takers with that at that level. Not unless, you know, you're around, you know, some big dudes that do that. There probably are some around here. I just don't have the time. And you know something? There's a lot of simplicity in training by yourself, too. You know, when you talk about getting back to basics, we've stated that multiple times. Well, I'm not a bench presser, but I think the bench is a worthy movement when done back flat, and we call it a floor press. We do it right off the platform, dead stop in the power rack. But I'm an overhead guy, obviously a puller, whether it's a row or deadlift, you know, trap bar, whatever. And obviously I love squats are my favorite movement, period. Dead stop out of the hole. Like yesterday I did 505. You know, I haven't been able to go real hard because I don't want to keep putting stress of putting that hand behind me to squat that arm because I don't want to keep reliving that. So basics, not only in lifting, but basics mentally too. Let's go into that. You have some very good mental thoughts, obviously, and I know you're a motivator with it. That's a big topic on this show, so why don't you touch upon that if you would, please?
Well, I also teach spinning, and I love spinning because my knees are shot from all the years of pounding and running. Sure. So spinning I like because it's intense. So if I'm teaching a spinning class and I have people, like I have this man that just started and he's overweight, out of shape, he can hardly breathe. So how am I going to keep him for 50, 45 minutes to sometimes 90 minutes in a spin class? So what I do is I call it, I distract them. So that's called motivated. How do I distract them? Okay, we got three teams here. Your team number one, your team two, your team three. Team number one, you're going to give 110%. And so we start playing games. We start counting. It's called distraction. And then I say, so then how does this relate to what we do in life? I say, you know what? If you can't count and you're going all out and you can't count, then I say, then I'm testing. How do you perform under stress? And I mean, I make up stuff all the time going around.
Sure.
I don't know what I say half the time, but you know what? They kind of go, what'd she just say? And they zone in on what I just said, I say something crazy, they laugh, they get angry, they get mad. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, 45 to 50 minutes is done. And they go, boy, do I feel good.
Yep.
Right? So it's called distraction. It's called, having fun. It's called pushing the envelope.
Yep.
It's called out of the comfort zone. And it's called saying, telling these people, this man that used to play football, that's 300 pounds, saying to him, but you're an athlete. You can push it. You're an athlete. So that motivates him to push the extra envelope because he's an athlete. He forgot he was an athlete. So go ahead. Yeah.
When you say that, that's interesting because I was over at my sister's the other night, and my sister's a black belt. And everybody in our family is very physical because I don't tell a lot. Well, everybody knows that it's been associated with this. Is my brother Jimmy had muscular dystrophy and died as a young teenager, okay? And I have two other brothers and a sister. And, you know, we were very young kids at the time, obviously. And I know, I've talked to my brother at times about it, but not a lot. We don't really say a lot at times. I mean, I'll talk about it openly. I don't think they're overly comfortable with it at times. And, you know, I've said to them, I said, don't tell me that, you know, you're all weightlifters. My one brother is a weightlifter. He rides like crazy. He's got, I don't know how many $1,000 into his bike. And I mean, as in pedal bike, and everything else. And it's like, you know, I think when you have something like that around you, maybe you don't realize it consciously as a younger kid, but those things always play on you. And I do believe that, well, I think that I said this to you yesterday, I think we got the DNA dust on the way down from heaven. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
I think the weightlifting, it's, you know, my father's a good athlete, football, all that stuff, lifted weights, but not a weightlifter like what I do or any of my brothers. My mother used to ski, you know, nothing great. And it's like genetically we've been pretty blessed because we've all done some pretty big things with training. And I think it's like what you're saying, the diversion with you to motivate. You know, you have an athlete there that, hey, you know what, you got to get off your butt now. And you got to get in shape, you know, and I'm going to need to tell you that. And this is where my sister came in on this. She goes, you know, even I need at times to hear that because she said, you need to be reminded. And sometimes you just need that kick in the butt to get you rolling again. And I think that people like yourself that have that ability and that, you know, that's a real gift in my opinion to be able, you know, my mother used to always say that to me too. She said, you know, you were always very comfortable in large groups, even when you didn't know them. You always seemed to be able to talk about a subject, et cetera, et cetera. And she always said to me, you know, that's a gift because – and I know this for a fact. We had this one college professor that at the end, 50% of your mark was going to have to be to get up and speak about the subject because this would be in marketing or anything like that with them, okay? Or it could be anything with salesmanship. You want to hear chairs like moving faster and feet out the door than anything you ever heard. You'd sit in one of his classes, all right? And I used to be like, holy cow. But a lot of people can't get up in front of crowds. They're not comfortable. They get nervous. They lose their subject matter. So with what you do where you can do that, I mean, that's a real gift. And then you're getting the second best thing for you. You're getting to watch these people. It's really a metamorphosis of what you're doing with them. You know, and I feel the same way. It's like, you know, be good at your subject. You know, none of us know everything, but keep getting better and better with it. And I still think the best way, you know, you can read a billion books. I've got a library in front of me right now where I'm talking to you, where I've read all these books. I've probably read some of them two or three times. It's great. I keep looking for new material all the time. People send me books or are going to be on the show, et cetera, et cetera. But my thing is this. How I've learned the most is being alone out there in that garage when it's 20 below even. You're freezing your ass off, and it's like it'd be real easy to go back in the house and get warm, but you won't relent to it. So that's just kind of my feeling with it. What do you think? I mean, obviously the diversion is killer, but how do you feel that you've grown to where you are today? Do you think Like, I've been a lone wolf on and off for a long time with this stuff, and I think it works better. Well, I wouldn't be where I am today probably if it wasn't for that. I mean, besides a job loss like everybody else, which finally made me go to where I belong. But do you feel, I mean, tell me how you feel you've become so knowledgeable. Was it times where maybe you were alone or you had to be alone and train? Did you feel that made you better?
I think alone, yes, because I tried things out on my own body.
Yep.
That has helped, but I've learned a lot from my clients, and then they come in and they tell me what their doctor said about their particular injury or whatever. And I guess experience, meaning that I've worked with so many people in my and they have so many different injuries and so many different things. So that, but like you said, I have to work with myself and I have to try things out on myself.
Yes.
Yeah. And like today, I work with this lady today. She came in. She was so sore. She's like, oh, my God, you killed me. I don't know what you did. And then I don't know. My hands took over. I stretched her out. I kind of massaged her. I did some different things. She got up and she said, oh, my God, you're a magician. How'd you know what you were doing? I don't know. It's my intuition, right? So I think working with clients, working on my own self, but one of the has taught me the most and watching, reading, everything I can get my hands on, going to the internet, watching other fitness professionals, you know, good or bad, right?
Sure.
Conferences, you know what I mean? They help. But the thing I also wanted to tell you is about sometimes you and me, sometimes people are intimidated by us, and I find that I have some of my trainers that are softer, right?
Yep.
And they're very soft, and they'll bring somebody in and blah, blah, blah. And that's good, and I'm happy for that because there's some people that are afraid of that, right?
Yeah.
And we're very passionate about it. So I've had to – sometimes I have to tone myself down, which is kind of hard to do.
Yep.
And then I say, okay, that person is intimidated by me, so you have to work with that person. But I'm going to tell you what, if you or me were not passionate and you know, kind of tough, we would not have a business, right?
No.
So I think, but we have to remember that we're a very small percentage, and the people that we're going to attract is a very small percentage. But how do we reach that the other 95% of the world, I don't know. We may not ever reach them.
Well, this is why we're doing the podcast, because we're going to try to reach as many as we can. And, you know, when we have folks like you on, you know, you get to put out what you believe and what you think. And that's real vital. This is what I want to do. I told you yesterday, I just want to leave a path behind me. And we've got them, you know.
Yeah.
And They feel they're part of something. They feel worthy. They feel like, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't like that job I've been sitting in for 15 years, and I'm not afraid now to make a change. You know, maybe things aren't going great in my relationship, and I've been like wanting to just hang it up. Well, maybe now I go after life aggressively again. I go after the people I care about aggressively again. There's no guarantees it'll work, but you know what? At least you put in the time and you made the effort. And you were, you know, honest about it. And those things are important, because I think we need to start building that foundation again with people. A lot of lost people out there. I meet them a lot of times. You know, they'll sit and they'll talk to you, and, you know, you can just see it. It's like, where's your direction? You know, what do you want to do? And, I mean, to me, you know, living life is pretty fun. I mean, we all, you know, you and I and everybody else has had our ups and downs, whether it's professionally, personal. That's the way life is, all right? Life is going to throw eggs at you sometimes for a long time, hit you right in the head. You're not going to like it. You're going to get some scratches, et cetera, et cetera. But it's the winners in life that know this, that know that no matter what, I'm going to keep pushing, and I'm going to get to where I get. And I'm going to stop avoiding these struggles, because, you know, if there's not any struggle with something, I don't mean ridiculous either, but if you're just getting it handed to you, you're never going to appreciate it. And if things go up in smoke, you're going to not know what to do. And I just think that physical strength and people that like to train people that have the passion we do. And I know what you said. I can identify with you totally with the passion end, because I have at times a very hard time coming down to the levels of people, because, you know, you yourself personally trained at such a high pitch and you've been doing it for so long. You know, when I start hearing somebody say, oh, I think I hurt my finger, I'm like ready to say, hey, you ought to feel my shoulder right now.
Yes,
you know?
Seriously.
It's like, okay. But the point of the matter is, I think we bring a lot more. Look, we're all paid what we feel people should pay. But I think the ones that really care and are in it for your life, you know, because it is our life anyways. But I'm talking to the day wherever you decide you want to be put. I don't think you can put a price tag on what we bring.
No, I don't. I agree. I mean, I think it. I wrote something on my page the other day. I said, you know, when I feel down or I feel insecure, the best way to pump myself back up is to challenge, say, this is what I'm going to do. And so I say, okay, I'm going to work out. And then I say, okay, like today I said, we were doing something. We were using tires and we were jumping over tires, right? And so we were supposed to do 10 of this thing. And I looked at the girl that I work out with on Thursdays and I said, we're not going to just do 10. I said, we're going to do 15. We're not going to do 11. But we're going to do 15 because that's above and beyond. So I challenged us, and she looked at me like I was crazy. And but when I got done, I felt so good about myself, and I felt like I could stand up and I could kick somebody's butt. I could walk out of there. Yeah. And if somebody says to me, I don't like the way you look, I'd say, that's okay, because I do, and I just keep walking on. Right? So that's the thing, is that the challenge – that's what makes, you know, that's what, and people that are 350 pounds, when they get on, when they give them something to do, I look at them after they've done and I said, oh my goodness, you didn't just do 2 minutes today, you did three. Can you believe that? So every single day I make them feel like they've done something better and they walk away feeling like they're on top of the world.
Yep.
Right?
And and that's important because, especially with the stuff we do. It's, you know, it takes a long time to build somebody up if you can even complete something like that, because think about it, a 30 year old person at that point has absorbed so much crap in their head and so many failures and so many people telling them you can't, and why do you want to do this? And why would you hang out with this one? And, you know, why would you want to go to a trainer? Why would you want to go to a gym? There's so many why nots with everything. It's like by 30 and probably earlier now, your head's so full of crap, it's almost impossible to remove that stuff unless you're around somebody that's been through a lot of this stuff. That's, you know, weightlifting to me, if you look at it, it really is, it's a good torture, I think. You know, I like the idea of, you know, like yesterday it was hot as hell here in Albany training. It was well into the 80s and humid, okay? And it's the other extreme of being out in 20 below and having an Olympic bar stick to your throat when you're trying to rack it, all right? It's a different world. But I like those challenges like that because you can get your body to coordinate with anything out there. Maybe you got to go a little bit slower today. You know, when you're messing around with 100 degrees or close to it in high humidity, that could kill you if you don't look out. So I like the idea of we've got to somehow today get through this. We got to get through this mentally and physically, and we've got to tell ourselves, you know, whatever we're into, you know, why am I squatting so heavy today? But keep posing the question, and the right answers are going to keep coming. And you're going to find out that you're going to go through these workouts heavy and hard. You're going to feel good as opposed to, oh, it's hot out today. I don't know if I can do it. Well, you know what you just did? You just put the clamp right on your head. So, you know, these are the things, you know, you don't think about. Everybody thinks you can go out and muscle stuff up, myself included. I've done it. But here's the bottom line. There's a connection between your brain stem and all the moving parts. And if you don't think so, see somebody that's broken their neck, and they'll tell you right there. As my late great chiropractor John Ridge says, you know, the life starts at the top of the neck and comes down. You know, that's your life force. That's where all the electricity's going on. Grab a bar sometime as hard as you can and twist it and watch the signals go into your head. Something's going on. Something's going on. That's a thing I've been doing for years. Anything I do, I will try to break that bar in half with my hands because it's sending signals all over the body. It's time to react. Something's going on. Little things like that you learn over the years that can really make or break you, not only in training, but when you go into a meet when there's nobody there. Well, even if they're there, I've been there, you can hear them yelling all you want, but basically if you're really into what you're doing, you're not going to hear a sound around you. So those are some of the things I like to do. But, Ellen, I know we're getting near the end, and I know you've got to get to your business, but why don't you add anything you want, give out all your information, again, website, et cetera. I'll give mine out, and then I'll just talk to you for a minute offline.
Okay. Anybody that has any questions about anything, whether it's weight loss, strength, anything in regards to personal training, fitness, anything, men, women, happy to answer those questions. You could email me, Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at IntoShape. The letter N is a Nancy, the number 2, S-H-A-P-E.com. I'm not really good at answering the phone, but you can feel free to. 703-906-4413. I really enjoy being on the show. I feel honored that you've asked me to be on the show, and I think the best thing that I can bring to it is that my thing is I want to motivate people to continue to work out, change their lives, and also I'm a firm believer in making fitness part of your community. So you, like in Albany, what you've done is you have a community, and you have a community within a community, and I think that's really what makes people stick with it. The trainer, the coach, but also the people that you work out with. And it's also the people that you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with fleas, you're going to get fleas. But if you surround yourself with people in fitness, you're only going to get healthier, you're going to feel better, and have a better quality of life.
I agree. And I thank you for being on. We'll talk offline. I'd like to have you back so we can maybe do a show for an hour, you know, and that would be a good thing
Love
when you're
to.
Not pressed for time. Okay. Well, this is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats, Saugerties Chiropractic Center, Dr. William Wong's Essentials. Let's see. We got Melody Schoenfeld's Evil Monkey, ENT.com. That's www.evilmunkyent.com. 25% off the month of June for anyone that wants to order custom equipment. Tell her that Motivation and Muscle sent. And once again, I want to say thanks to Soren X, Bert Soren. That's www.sorenx.com for the trap bar and his generosity. And, you know, Bert was just on. We'll have his show up probably tomorrow. If you want to call them, 803-978-2253. Tell them Eric sent you, and we'll be talking again very soon. So, Ellen, thanks for being on Motivation and Muscle.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome. So, for Eric Fiorello, I'm sorry. For Ellen Yates, this is Eric Fiorello. We want to thank you for listening to the show. We'll have this show posted as quick as I can get it up. Don't forget, www.fiorellobarbellco.com and www.motivationmuscle.com. You know, and if you need me, it's fiorellobarbell@nicap.rr.com. And I want to leave you with two things. If someone comes up to you in the concrete jungle or out on the street and wants a little bit of they want to ask you questions. Show them that you're a steward of strength. The outers might, get them to you, but it's what you got inside that, you know, you don't know who you're producing. We could have the next greatest Olympic lifter for all you know, or the best person who, you know, owns a gym, or somebody out in the industry. And also, too, like my mom says, give a smile or say hello. It might be the only thing.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.